Welcome to the CFC Jacks Midweek Podcast, where we discuss topics related to becoming a fully devoted, Spirit-empowered Christ follower. We hope that wherever you are today, you'll be encouraged by the truths discussed in this podcast.
Welcome to Q&A. We're so glad that you're with us. This is your opportunity to send in questions from the sermon this morning. So there will be a number across the bottom of the screen here in just a moment, and you can text in those questions. So if something's kind of stirring in your heart and your mind this morning, I want to encourage you to text that in to have that answered this morning. And we do have some that have come in, so we can go ahead and get started there.
Yes. But love, I hope for questions.
Yes.
I do hope for questions.
Yes, we do want questions. That's why we do Q&A. We want the questions. One, amazed how much we got through, like as I looked at the message memo, but I love the idea of walking through.
You have little faith.
I know, right? It was just a lot, but it's great. Like walking through Peter's story, I've never walked through it laid out in a timeline like that. That was very impactful.
Well, there's a number of things that I feel like I should put in writing. And one of them would be, I did a series called 30 Days in the Life of a Christ Follower. So what I did is I looked at every moment where Peter had a specific encounter with Jesus from his first the whole way through into the book of Acts. And it was then that I realized, wow, there was a lot of stops. And so I had always known that Peter had some bad moments,
sure,
you know, where he had denied and where Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. That's kind of a bad moment for you.
It's a rough day in the office.
Yeah. Jesus said to me, get behind me. So I knew those things, but I didn't understand. I thought they were like bad moments in following versus this reality of there was a starting to follow and then a stopping and a starting and a stopping. And that's, I think that there's lots of folks who really have a difficulty defining their own spiritual journey because they're not sure how to reconcile some of those stops and starts and what was really going on. And for Peter, it all changed, and this is what I hope people captured, it all changed when he was filled with the Holy Spirit. That up until then, it was human determination and human reasoning. I think I should start. I think I should stop. And it was then the Holy Spirit that gave him enduring power to live life as God intended him to live it, filled with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a great way to see the life of Peter unfold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a great way. And someone actually asked from Thursday night that you would reference the harmony of the Gospels,
yes.
And they're wondering if there's a particular author you recommended.
Yeah, there's a number of harmonies out there. So the one, and let me be honest here, I'm no harmony expert. So,
haven't read them all.
there's really only a few primary ones. The one that I was introduced to my first year of Bible school was The Harmony of the Gospels by Thomas Gundry. So, Gundry, Thomas Gundry. And super helpful if you're not sure. A Harmony of the Gospels simply takes, we have four gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and it puts them in order of the life of Jesus. And so where one, like John, includes many things that the other three gospels do not include. And so it puts it in order where John tells us something that none of the other gospels tells us, just John. And then when you get to an event where all four of the gospels record it, then all four of them are laid out side by side. So it's really able to work through the life of Jesus in chronological order. And so Thomas Gundry, Harmony of the Gospels, is what I was introduced to and been used for the last 40 years now.
Good recommendation. Question here about Peter's life. So had Peter passed away at any point on the list you gave before number 10, would Peter have been sealed and secured a place in heaven?
Yeah, that's a... this may be I don't know. I think that the promises that Jesus made to Peter about how he would use him indicates that he couldn't have passed away prior to the coming of the Holy Spirit. But I think at core the question is this. A person prior to Pentecost, would have they been sealed and secure? Well, so let me answer in this way. Strip Peter out of it and just say, mm-hmm. A person prior to Pentecost, would have they been sealed and secure? It's not just New Testament truth that the just shall live by faith. Salvation has always been by faith. Habakkuk 2:15 is the just shall live by faith. So that's an Old Testament reference that justification comes through faith. Abraham in Genesis 15:6, it says that Abraham believed and it was credited to him as righteousness. So I'm not saying that faith is a New Testament concept for salvation. It's always been by faith. The sealing part of the Holy Spirit seems to be a New Testament idea that we, in the Old Testament, you have specific men anointed by the Holy Spirit for specific task given to them by God. But then we also see in the Old Testament men of God who then, because of their disobedience, the Spirit of God is taken away from them. That's why in Psalm 51, after David commits adultery with Bathsheba and has her husband killed and all the mess that he made, he in his repentance says, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." See, he understands something about the anointing of the Holy Spirit that was true then that is not true now. As much as I might make a wreck of my life, if I have indeed placed faith in Jesus, then the Holy Spirit not only indwells me to give me what I need for walking in newness of life, the Holy Spirit seals me, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, the Holy Spirit seals me as a guarantee of my inheritance in the saints. So I don't ever need to pray like David did, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Mm-hmm. I can, as a believer now, 1 Thess 5, I can quench the Spirit. Mm-hmm. So I can resist and grieve the Spirit's work within me, resist it, but he will not be taken from me. Once in the Father's hand, no one or anything can pluck me out of the Father's hand. So all that to say, with the ascension of Jesus, this is why he says, "It's to your advantage that I go away." He will be with you, with the word we say multiple times, forever. Yes, he will be with you forever. That's new promise. Mm-hmm. So Peter was not saved by works and other people saved by works prior to the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. It's always been by faith. The sealing of the Holy Spirit seems to be the work that God has given post-ascension, beginning with Pentecost. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry, that was a long answer, but that was that's an important question that we understand.
Yes, an important difference.
So we stripped it from Peter, but to hopefully see there was a transition with the ascension of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And the impact of the ascension of Jesus.
It to your advantage.
Yes, it wasn't just an event.
we get the Holy, with his ascension, two things happen. We get the promise of the Holy Spirit, and we also get the promise that now he in heaven ever lives to make intercession for us. So it is both his ascension gives us the promise of the Holy Spirit and the gift of prayer in Jesus' name. Pretty big stuff.
Amazing gifts.
Yes.
Amazing gifts. Yes. Question here. How does one who believes in Jesus become saturated with the Holy Spirit? Is it invitational?
Okay. Good question. When a person places faith in Christ, Galatians chapter 4 says that he pours his Spirit into our hearts. And sometimes, I don't know if you can see this very, very well since clear, but this bottle is about 3/4 full. And we can sometimes, when we hear this expression, filled with the Spirit, meaning we get some of the Spirit, and then we get more of the Spirit, and then we get more of the Spirit until we are filled with the Spirit. And we need to ask Him to fill us. It's not my understanding of what the New Testament teaches. My understanding of what the New Testament teaches is when I place faith in Christ, here's what happens. I am in Christ. Now I am in Him. That's why when the Father sees me, He actually sees the righteousness of Christ. Now I am in Him, but He also equally is in me through the person of the Holy Spirit. So if He is in me and He is a person, how do I get half a person? Do I get a leg and an arm and a ear and half a mouth and one eye? You know, or do I just get the, yeah, you don't get a portion, and the whole, God is a person. Holy Spirit is a person. So the Holy Spirit, we can sometimes think of as power and force, and we want to think of the Holy Spirit rightly as a person, not a power and a force. He is a person who now dwells within me. So it is the promise to those who trust in Him. I do not need to ask for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been given. Filled with the Holy Spirit, this is not just a play on words. This is not just semantics. This is huge distinction. Filled with the Spirit is not me getting more of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit getting more of me. So, instead of thinking I have some of the Holy Spirit until I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, think of instead of your life as a house. And when you place faith in Christ, the person of the Holy Spirit comes into your house. And when He comes into your house, it says that we no longer belong to ourselves, we belong to Him. But in practicality, there are certain rooms in our house that we have locked the door, right?
Right.
Where we've said, you can come into this part of my life, but not this part of my life. And we're like, no, no entry in there. Filled with the Holy Spirit is, I'm just trying to give an image here, is the person of the Holy Spirit in my life with full access to every facet, area, room, whatever image helps you, of your life. Every door opened, even the closet door where you've stuffed all your secret stuff in that you don't want anybody else to see. A little booklet, maybe you'd want to read it sometime, called My Heart, Christ Home by Robert Munger, I believe is just a little booklet, my type of book. You can read it in like 5 minutes.
Perfect.
And he uses this image, my heart, Christ home, and this idea of we allow Him into the foyer of life, but then into the kitchen of our life, and then into the bedroom of our life, and then into the study of our life, and then into the garage, our hobbies, and ultimately this hall closet where we keep this secret thing. So I just want to be clear. I've used that analogy. That's something I have read in actually, way back as a teenager, My Heart, it's really old, My Heart, Christ Home by Robert Munger. But that's filled with Holy Spirit. So it's not invitational. It's a promise that we are given. It's more relinquishment than it is invitational. I'm not inviting Him. I am relinquishing more of me.
Stepping back. Yeah, it's almost rather than open, it's like opening door and just stepping back.
Yes.
Not just
yielding.
Yeah, just yielding. Interesting. Sounds like a good read. It's a good image.
It's a great image.
It's a great image.
Simple to understand. And it's good read because it's short.
Oh, it's a bonus. Next question here. Sometimes we take two steps forward and then a step back.
Yes.
We can feel distressed by those steps back. Do you have a recommended verse or reference when we feel as if we've succumbed to the world and put Jesus on the back burner?
Yeah. Well, there's, what would I, a single recommended verse?
I'm sure you could say more than one and it'd be fine.
Well, but I want to pick one good one.
The best.
So we could say, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. I feel like that's a little predictable. Though it's important, we understand that there's mercy and grace. We don't get forgiveness once. His mercies are new every morning. Mm-hmm. Here would be another verse. He is faithful even when we are faithless. So our hope is not in our faithfulness. It's in his faithfulness. Another verse would be Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you will perfect it, will continue it. Because I like images. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. So the reason that one comes to my mind is, are we changing? Yes. Mm-hmm. Are we changing instantly? No. Is it a process? Yes. So I think sometimes we can get discouraged because transformation, being changed, is a process. It's from one degree of glory to another. I have all that I need for life and godliness, mm-hmm. according to 2 Peter 1, but that doesn't mean that I'm living according to all that I have. So I would encourage you, this idea of 2 Corinthians 3:18, that as you with an unveiled face, in other words, there's a veil over Moses's face because he had seen the glory of the Lord and it was shining, but it was diminishing. Mm. We live in the completely different direction. We have now the righteousness of Christ and our glory is not fading, it's growing from one degree of glory to another as we spend time with the Lord, as we relinquish ourselves to him, that is growing. So be encouraged that change is part of the process.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the CFC Jacks podcast. Be sure to watch as we release new teachings weekly, along with additional content during the week. If you'd like more information about our church, please visit us at www.cfcjacks.com. Thanks for listening.